Good morning, church. Amen. It is so encouraging to be worshiping God together, you know, as brothers and sisters. I really appreciate. I just feel like, you know, God knows exactly what it is we need. Every Sunday, every week, he prepares times such as this for us so that we can be encouraged, inspired, you know, spurred on in this walk with him. I appreciate Mikkel's welcome. I think it's so important, you know, just knowing how we deal with this emotion. It's a huge topic. And also Mateus and Nastia, in terms of just them sharing their conversion story, bro, it touched my heart. You know, teared forward a little bit, you know. It's encouraging because we serve an amazing God. A God who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. A God who looks out for us even when we don't ask him to, and provide for us in ways that we can't even imagine. And so, for the next few minutes, I want us to continue this thought. I want us to talk about a faith that endures. Amen. You notice Tony is not here today. Our brother is in Newmarket. He's being with the church. They're encouraging the church. And, you know, God uses us in different ways. And it's great that, you know, the Ottawa church can actually be a source of encouragement, not just to the people in Ottawa, but right across Canada. Amen? When I talk about a faith that endures, you know, in John chapter 16, in verse 33, them for the journey ahead, the journey without him, to help them to endure, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Amen? Amen? And I find this scripture very encouraging. I find it very encouraging because it's saying that even though in this life we'll have trouble, and we have much trouble in this world. Amen? We have lots of trouble. And Jesus is saying, even though there's much trouble, we can overcome because he overcame. Amen. That we can not just exist, but that we can thrive, that we can excel, that we can do well with this life that God has created us to live, this very unique and special life. Because God has a plan for each and every single one of us. To take part, to contribute in this great plan of his, each and every single one of us has a role to play in it. You hear those that are online, God has a plan for you. But for that plan to be realized in our lives, our faith's got to endure the times, amen? Our faith's got to endure these troubles and these hardships that we face. And I believe it's one of the reasons why you see in the New Testament, many times we see this word overcome. We got to overcome. There you'll see it in some of the passages that talk about overcoming. In Luke 10, 19, Jesus says, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And Jesus said this to the disciples before sending them out. To start to teach and preach and help people to come to know this gracious God that we worship here today. In Matthew 16, he said again, Matthew 16, verse 18, he says, and I tell you that you're Peter. After Peter confessed that he is the Christ, the Son of God, I believe and I know this is who you are, Jesus said, and I tell you that you're Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gate of Hades will not overcome it. You see, we see this word overcoming keep coming up. In Romans chapter 12, verse 21, the apostle says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There again, you see the Spirit's encouraging us that we need to overcome. In 2 Peter chapter 20, 21, it says, if they have escaped the corruption of the world, talking to disciples now who they got baptized, they accepted Jesus as Lord, but somehow they started to drift in their thoughts, in their convictions, the things that you obey. And Peter said, listen, if you have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. You see, many times we see this word overcome, overcome. You see, brothers and sisters and friends, this call to follow Christ, this call to reflect Christ, this call to be a light in the world requires us overcoming the troubles that we face. Requires our faith enduring through the hardships, through the temptation, through the challenges that we face. And the challenges are many. And I want us to look, how do we overcome? How do we overcome so that we can have that faith that endures, so that when these challenges that the devil will throw at us, that life throws at us, that we can endure, that we can persevere, that we can carry on? How do we overcome? I want us to take a look at our brother Job. And we're going to read a little bit, so bear with me. But I think when we all know the story of Job. But when we look at Job's life, Job gives us some ideas that I think that if we embrace today, that it can help us to deal with those challenges, those things that challenges our faith. Because you see, the biggest challenge or obstacle to our faith in God, enduring, the biggest faith to it is learning how to overcome the challenges that the devil throws at us. We heard it from Matthias before, begging and pleading. That's the biggest challenge to us. And so I'll read very quickly. You can read with me. I'll read in Job chapter 1. It says, in the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. In other words, Job was rich. Okay? He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's son and daughter were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Now talk about distress. And if that wasn't enough, in the following verses, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Now, let's pause there a minute. When you talk about, it's amazing to me that a man could suffer such calamity, such distress, and still at the end of it, thought about worship. What would make somebody do such a thing? I think just losing all my retirement, the little, you know, I'm nothing like Job. I'm not rich, okay? I don't have money. You know, I don't know anything about investments. You know, they have a little RSP at the workplace. They say, if you contribute, we'll put a little on it, and you may have something later on. And every now and again, I look at it, and this year, the market's been volatile. Rather than it going up, it's going down. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to look at this anymore. I'm going to leave it to you, you know, because my life is in your hands. I don't know about this thing. I am not rich. But I know if tomorrow I hear from the investment company that I've lost everything, I don't think I'll be thinking about worship. I'm being honest with you. I know I'd like to be thinking about worship. You know, the spiritual thing to say would be, you know, well, praise God. You know, I know he'll come through for me and God is good. It's no problem. I'm sure my wife wouldn't see me for a while. It's just the guy thing, you know, we go in our cave and we start to wonder, what am I going to do? But Job, it's amazing. What would make somebody in the heights of calamity and distress such as this? He didn't just lose his livelihood. He lost servants, friends, close people. He lost his children. If this happened to a brother or sister and they fell away, I'm being honest with you, I wouldn't be one to judge. Because I don't know if I'd do differently. Because it is just hard. But yet still in this man that God looked at and said, there is no one like him. We see something there that every single one of us need to embrace, that we need to have as we go through this life and deal with the different challenges that come our way. Let's continue to read. In chapter 2 it says, and we read from 1 to 10, it says, on another day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, even though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, very well then. He's in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the sole of his head, from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, like maybe what most of us would say, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You know, when I look at Job's life, you know, I wonder, it challenges me. It challenges me even as I am today, because I've been a disciple a little bit over 30 years. I know all the right words. I know the things to say to sound spiritual. I know all the answers. I know all these things. But one thing that I've learned about myself over the years is that in times of trouble, my faith often falters. My family feels it. People around me see it. Trouble has a way of doing that to us. It's easy to do good when things are going well. It's easy to be strong, to be a firm disciple when things are going well. But at the sight of trouble, how do we respond? You see, when we look at Job's life here, there are a couple things that we can learn to help us to stay, to have a faith that endures. Because we see Job here, you know, it's just amazing to me that even losing his family and then getting afflicted, where you're having sores and boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And listen, it's very easy, you know, to empathize. We can look at somebody suffering and we can empathize with them. But we'll never truly know what they're going through unless your foot is in their shoe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Can never, and we can look at, we empathize, but Job suffered. He suffered much. Buried his servants, buried his children, had his friends turn against him, see his family fall apart. And at the end of it, Job had to say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. You know, it's one of the reasons why Jesus said what he said in the passage that we read at the beginning. We face trouble. We face trouble at work. You know, you think you should get that promotion and you don't get it. They give it to somebody else. Somebody who talk a lot. Not who work a lot. And you work real hard and you think you'll get it, and they give it to somebody else. And the temptation there is to, you know, you start to struggle. You test your faith. You see yourself getting old and you desire a relationship and you're not married. And you start to wonder, is God for me? And your faith start to waver in your faith. You're at home with your kids, and you know, when God bless you with these beautiful children when they were born, and you look at them, you have all these grand plans for them. I call my daughter Princess. Because I see and I know the best is going to happen for her. And my son, you know, he's going to become a great man. And then things don't turn out as you planned. I don't know, you know, if many of you know, but my daughter became a disciple during the COVID period. It was the most encouraging time for me. And it was even more encouraging for my wife because, you see, my wife, Petrina, she lost her mom when she was 13 on Mother's Day. Mother's Day wasn't as, and because of that, Mother's Day was never an encouraging time for her. Every Mother's Day, you know, sometimes there'd be tears and she'd cry. Our daughter got baptized on Mother's Day. And it changed for her. Mother's Day then had a new meaning. And it was so encouraging. And COVID, like we all know, it was hard. It was hard psychologically. It was hard mentally. It was hard every alley you can think of. And I find that, you know, young disciples who didn't have that, they say it takes a village to raise a child, who didn't have all that encouragement around them, they struggled. And earlier this year, my daughter looked at us both and said, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. She said, I want to go live my own life. I want to be happy. And when she said it, I was devastated. And I started to think and wonder to myself, it's like, what is wrong with me? Am I a bad father? I see other disciples, kids that are faithful. They're struggling, but they're faithful. They're still coming out. What is wrong with me? And I started to question my relationship with God. You know, I started to think about, you know, God, I've been serving you for so long. I've given so much contribution. I've never missed service. I served. I've done so much. I don't understand why you allow this to happen. Believe me, and I'm a family group leader. I start questioning, should I even lead family group anymore? I can't manage my own house. I went through a rough time. It was hard. I separated myself from the family. I locked myself in a room. I cried. And, you know, it was all about me. And thank God for the brothers. Thank God for the sisters. You know, because I had reached out to Tony and, you know, I talked to Stanley to try and get some perspective. I even talked to some of you in the audience. Spoke to Dave and even Pedro. Encourage me. Say, no, bro, just hold on to this. You know, God made us a promise. He said, if you teach a child the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. And the point I want to make here is this. You see, the devil knows our weakness. He came before God and he said, no, you see, Job is faithful only because of all the good things that you're doing for him. But you see, in God's eyes, God saw different. You see, God saw a faith that endured. Job wasn't rich. Job wasn't serving God because God blessed him with riches. The riches came because of his faithfulness to God. Because his faith endured in spite of everything else that was happening around him. You see it in as you read different sections in Job. And that is why God could look at Job and say, there's no one like him. Because in spite of the challenges that happened to him, he stayed faithful. And I want to ask you this morning, how are you handling the challenges in your life? How are you handling that spouse that's not the same person that you know you thought you marry? They changed a bit. And as the years go by, they seem like they're changing more. You know, they used to cook for you and stuff, and all of a sudden is, where's the dinner? It's like, you know, I don't want to cook today. You can cook something. It's like, what do you mean? And you start to wonder, how do you handle, you know, your children that used to say, yes, daddy, yes, mommy, and they obey you every word, and then all of a sudden it's like, leave me alone. I was like, who are you talking to? Remember, it's me. I'm your dad. How you handle those challenges behind closed doors? Because you see, it's easy for us to come together like this and say the right things because we know what the scripture says. Yeah. And to talk and to act right. Yeah. But how are we handling those challenges behind closed doors? Brothers, how are we handling the lust, the pornography, watching those things when nobody else is looking? The devil puts it, you know, sometimes it's never the plan. You went to watch a, you know, nice action movie, the girls watching lovey-dovey movie upstairs. And so you leave to go downstairs and watch an action movie, you know. You maybe watch a lovey-dovey with her and say, you know, I did my part as a husband. No, I'm going to have some guy's time. And while you're there, sometime, you know, something pops up. You know, a scene comes up. And maybe if the wife was there, you'd kind of look away. But the wife is not there. What do you do? Do you look? Because God is watching. The devil is watching. And he's the one that's showing up before God and say, look, this is the one you say is blameless and upright. And there's none like him. Look what he's doing. How are we handling challenges in our lives? How are you handling the challenges on the job? You know, sometimes, you know, when the female shows up and they're dressed in these tight-fitting outfit that leaves very little to the imagination. Are we handling it well? Because, you see, if we're not handling these troubles, brothers and sisters, it will pull us out of the kingdom. It will cause your families to fall apart. You know, it's one of the reasons, you know, I'm inspired by one of our church sisters. You know her, Oksana. I'm inspired by her faith. It encourages me, just like Eric encourages me. You heard about Eric last week. That in spite of his, you know, being badly afflicted with illness, Eric would show up as long as he could. Now he's bedridden. And he still, when you go there to see him, he encourages, he's like, bro, it is so good to see you. It is so good for you to be here. And I wonder how he does it. The same with our sister, Oksana. She came from Ukraine. She got married in Ukraine. She had a family. They have two beautiful kids. And because of the war, they got separated. And in the separation, they had a plan. I'm going to come, and by December, he'll be here. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, the kids asked her, Mommy, when is Daddy coming? She said, when the snow comes, he'll be here. It started snowing recently, and the kids ask, where is Daddy? Still not here. And it's challenging for her because she's here in a strange country with strange people. She don't have family here except the family of God. Amen. And she have to be finding her way around. She have to be working and taking care of two kids and trying to be a father and a mother. And she still shows up. Whenever you talk to her, she say, "No, Chris, it is so hard, but I know God will come through for me." And it is so inspiring. How are we dealing with challenges in our lives? You know, if we're going to overcome, if we're going to have a faith that endures in spite of the hardships that we face, in spite of what the devil will throw at us, because the devil knows our weakness. He knows what it is. For me, it may be my kids. For some others, it may be money. Whatever it is for you, believe me, he knows what it is and he's coming at you with it. And we gotta be prepared. And that's why Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. I've told you these things." And so if we're gonna overcome, if we're gonna have a faith that endures, there are two things that I want us to look at from Job. And the first thing is this: we gotta remember to hold to the truths you know about God. It's not a matter of if the challenges will come, it's a matter of when. And with what intensity? Jesus told us the same thing in Matthew. When he talks about, you know, the man who holds to his word and builds, it's just a matter of when. And if we're going to overcome and have a faith that endures through those times, we got to remember and hold to the truths you know about God. Job was able to worship in time of distress. Job was able to still be faithful and faithful to God, even though he lost everything. He went from having everything to nothing. And he was still able to, because he remembered and held to the truths he knew about God. You know, in Job chapter 9, we'll see this in Job chapter 9, verse 4 to 10. And I'll read it very quickly here. In Job chapter 9, Job says in verse 4 to 10, he says, "His wisdom is profound, his power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He moves mountains without their knowing it and overturns them in anger. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillar tremble. He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches the heavens and treads on the waters of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellation of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him." Job is saying, "Listen, this God that I serve is amazing." Just like the song that we sang earlier. "He's incomparable, he's uncontestable. There's none like him. And I know that, you know, I've given my life to him and I know he'll take care of it." You see, people looked at Job and they see a man who's destitute. He lost everything. But God looked at Job and see a man that there's none like him. Job lost everything in terms of his possessions and family, but yet still in heaven before God, there was riches untold waiting for him. And that's because Job held to what he knew about God. You see, some trouble have this thing of replacing the knowledge we have about God. That when hardship comes, we tend to forget that we serve a good God. That he has always been there for us. He has helped us so many times and he'll help us again. I forgot. As a disciple, I forgot. When hardship hit me, I started to think about myself and what I was suffering and how it made me look and what I was going through. The emotions, as my brother talked about. And I forgot who God is. I started to grumble and complain. But when I was reminded by my brothers and sisters, it helped to bring me back. Yes, I serve an awesome God. And I need to trust him. Things may not be working out the way I wanted to know, but I'm sure later on, if he's willing, and if I hold to him, things will turn around. Amen. Brother, we need to remember and hold to the truths we know about God. Amen? Amen. And the second thing that we need to do, if we're gonna have that faith that endures, we got to remember and hold to the promises of God. Remember and hold to the promises of God. Even though Job lost everything, even though he was suffering, I mean, in ways that we can't even imagine, Job in sharing with his friends, this is what he had to say. In Job 19, verse 25 to 27, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. You see, this is a promise Job knew with certainty, in spite of losing everything. Because you see, there's a challenge that when we lose things, we feel like God is against us. That God is no longer for me. But nothing could be further from the truth. You see, God sometimes allow hardships to come our way, to refine our faith, to help us to be that man and that woman that he created us to be. And so I want to encourage you this morning, hold to the promises of God. Hold to the promises that we have heard. And some of these promises I'll just share with you. There are many. Many, countless in the scriptures. If we have that faith that endures, that if we persevere, we'll be able to hold to those promises. We'll be able to claim those promises. In Revelation chapter 2, we see some of these promises in the book of Revelation. In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, He who wasn't here, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Jesus encouraging the church there said, hold to your faith. You got to overcome in spite of what's going on. In verse 11, he says, to him who overcomes, he shall not be hurt by the second death. You will stand with me. You're going to live with me forever. In verse 17, he says, to him who overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written which no one knows except him. You're precious in God's sight. You got to hold on. You got to overcome. In verse 26, he says, to him who overcomes and keep my works until the end, to him I'll give power over the nations. In chapter 3, verse 5, it says, to him who overcomes shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before the angels. In verse 12, to him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. To him who overcomes. Brothers and sisters, the challenge for us today, if we're going to have a faith that endures, it's not just about coming to church. It's not just about giving contributions, which we need to come to church and give contributions. Amen? It's not just about saying the right things and knowing where to find a scripture. It's about being able to deal with those battles that the devil has and will continue to throw at you in your life. Those troubles that he throws at you that make you don't want to come out anymore. You don't want to engage with people anymore. You want to withdraw and be by yourself. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 16, and I'll wrap up here. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Amen. In this world you'll have trouble. In other words, God, Jesus is saying, I have given you my words so that you can overcome. The Word of God, the Bible as we have it and know it, brothers and sisters, was given to us for a purpose. God has given us His Word to accomplish a purpose in our lives. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. I've given you my word so that in me you will have peace. You see, the word was given to us for a purpose, to bring about a transformation, a change that we could never have by ourselves. This transformation through the Holy Spirit to become more and more like Christ every single day can only happen if we hold wholeheartedly to the word of God. And so I want to challenge you today, whether you're in school, you're in college, and I know it's very challenging there. You know, everyone want to look cool and, you know, you want to blend in. Hold to God's word. And you'll have an impact. You'll be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Things not working out in your relationship, hold to God's word. The temptation is there to move away from God's word because it's not happening as fast. And you think you can do better, but the minute you move away from God's word, you'll not be able, that God's purpose will not be able to be fulfilled in your life. You gotta allow the Holy Spirit to do its work through the word of God. Even when you can't see it, believe it. Hold to it so that God's transforming power can change those habits of our youth, that can help us overcome those schemes of the devil, and so that we can have that faith that endures and we can be that man and that woman God called us to be. Amen. God said of David that, you know, in Acts 13, I think, that when David had fulfilled God's purpose for his life, he fell asleep. God has a purpose for your life. If you're young, you're not so young, you're older, God has a purpose still for you. He wants to use you. God looks at you and He wants so much to say, there is no one like you. And for that to happen, we need to have a faith that endures. Amen? So let's, as we leave here today, let's make a decision in our hearts to fight, to not give in, to not allow the devil to have his way, to be like Job, that in spite of the challenges that we face, wherever it may come, that we have a faith that endures and we praise our Father in heaven. Amen? Yeah.